This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the personal favorites, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And from steakcollege.com, Mike Poorman, always doing great work. Mike, welcome.
Well, you can't beat a place that roasts its own peanuts, right? Man, that's awesome.
No, no. They flat out get it done. You want a one-stop shopping for your tailgate, they get it done. No doubt. Okay, so they win 35-6 on Saturday night, and they score touchdowns on every drive in the first half. Mike, what was your thoughts on the overall performance?
Well, thanks for asking, and I'll give you the answer that James Franklin deferred to on Saturday, and I think that half was, and you would know, you're better than me probably, but that half was the best half this season and maybe in a couple years. I mean, just complete football and an incredible environment, right?
Yeah, let me ask you about that for a second. Awesome environment. Pratt was listed at 110, 223. But what was your thought? And you can't do anything about it now. You really couldn't do anything about it then. But the fact that he got put on Peacock instead of being on an over-the-air national broadcast.
Well, I got to tell you, I thought you were going to go this direction. I was surprised, and I'll get to your question in a second. I thought you were going to ask this one. I was surprised everyone showed up, everyone stayed, everyone was so invested in the game after, you know, a little bit of a hangover, Ohio State, and a couple quasi wideouts, and you interact with students a ton. You know, some of them had said they're not sure they're into the wideout, but I was surprised how much of a, you know, on-brand wideout that was, and how much folks were into it. As far as Peacock, you know, you can't cash the checks without doing what they tell you to do. I guess that's my answer.
Well, no offense to Peacock, but Bowling Green and Kent State were made for Peacock, not this. See, and I think that's a bad judgment call by the Big Ten.
Well, you know, when you're signing contracts over $1 billion for TV coverage, they're not paying for what you want. They're paying for what they want.
Oh, I know. They're trying to drive subscriptions to Peacock. I got that part. Just like the Dolphins and the Chiefs playoff game last January was done to drive people to get subscriptions to Peacock. But, Mike, I've done this a long time. And in media, what are you trying to do in media? You're trying to get, quote, either as many eyeballs to read what you write. You're trying to get as many eyeballs to see what you're presenting. This doesn't do that.
Oh, absolutely, and this is a sidebar of it. So right before kickoff, I get a notice from Peacock that says that a user has signed into your Peacock subscription in New York, New York. I text my daughter, a 2019 Penn State grad. I go, "Are you using my Peacock subscription?" She mails back a little smiley face. Yeah, is that okay? So Peacock didn't get any money out of her either.
When you got Peacock, Did you get it for the Olympics and didn't drop it?
All, but there was money for her and her boyfriend, who's a Penn State grad. They should have subscribed to it. But, you know, Peacock lost out on that one subscription. I'm sure they lost out of a lot of them that way, too, as well.
When you got Peacock, did you get it for the Olympics or did you just get it for the programming? Why did you get it?
No, as soon as I saw that, that's a great question. I'll be honest, as soon as I saw that some of the Big Ten games are going to be on Peacock, I had to get it, right? And that's what they're counting on. I guess that's the point. But, yes, if you're Penn State, you're disappointed. Absolutely.
Okay, so you have a quarterback now in Drew Aller that's made 22 starts in his career. What are you seeing now in a Drew Aller that maybe we did not see last year with his initial starts?
Well, that's a good question. Now, James had a great answer to that, the presser where you were at today, where he said that Drew looks comfortable almost all the time. And he does look comfortable. It looks like he's playing within himself but at a high speed. And when he takes off, and James kind of said at the beginning of the year, you saw this, I'm sure, from a lot of practices, he is more mobile than folks had expected. But I think that goes to his comfort level and his confidence. And I think probably those two things more than anything else. I'm not a super mechanics guy, but I think, you know, the intangibles, comfort level with the offense, with who he is, his decision-making, and then his confidence to pull it down, his confidence on when to thread it, his confidence to yell at guys on the sidelines. I love that stuff. I think those are the biggest differences in Drew Aller that we're seeing, and the team is responding.
It's a team that, from a year ago, ended up losing three NFL draft picks in a fifth-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and Olu was a first-round pick. Yet the offensive line at least seems to be playing better. A, do you think they're playing better, and if so, why?
Yeah, you know, they do seem to be playing better. I think they're a little bit of the comfort level. I mean, Troutwine has – they've been with Troutwine their entire – most of them, not Nick Dawkins, so I think since year 17 at Penn State, although I love Nick. he's the epitome of student-athletes. But they're comfortable with Troutwine. And also, when you look at those losses, here's something no one else is talking about, but – your pal and mine, Landon Tangwell, he would be a senior right now. Mm-hmm. And he was starting as a sophomore. So they've absorbed that loss as well, which really makes it all interesting. So they've adjusted to that on the fly as well. I think Troutwine does not get enough of credit for that. And I think some credit, and I'm laughing because maybe even more than some, Frank Leonard is a hell of an analyst.
Yes,
if there's one guy I love to watch coach and do warm-ups, it's Frank Leonard, man. As a football guy, he is so into it, and the kids respond. I think he and Trout are a good bad cop, good cop, loud guy, quiet guy. I think that's a really good combo there, and I think it does manifest itself to a degree in the offensive line play.
If you had to pick a guy that was the definition of the old school, just absorbed in football guy, it's Frank Leonard, who, by the way, always kids all the time. Well, he'll tell James, he says, you know, we're just glorified gym teachers, right?
That is a great line, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, I've heard him say it. Yeah, but he's incredible that way. Tom Allen, a lot of focus will always be on an offense, and especially with the creativity we've seen from Andy and how they've executed. They were going to go, and I don't know if I talked to you about this before or not, so if I have, Mike, please stop me. But for 8.5 months, they had planned on playing a certain way. And then K.J. Winston got hurt. And they had to adjust and adapt. What does it say about Tom, the staff on defense, and the players that they have adapted the way they have? Because the style has had to be a little bit different than how they planned.
I think it's really astute. I think a storyline for the season that has, and I'll be guilty of it as well. I'm sure you and Jack talk about it a lot. But, I mean, the game that he had against West Virginia, mm-hmm. I mean, it was otherworldly. And so they had not only had to make up for it, but they don't have him. And they would be phenomenal. And it's forced Jalen Reed, admittedly from him, he's even said this, to be much more of a vocal leader to kind of fill that mm-hmm. void in the room, but also in the game. And then, you know, two of the last three, he's made really, really great plays. So that's, Jalen's filled the void, but it's kind of funny is that it's a major, major injury, and people have forgotten about it, except you. You just brought it up.
You know, and Reed now has an interception each of the last three games, which is, you know, that tells you a lot about where he is right now. A young player like Zion Tracy, we saw the interception return for a touchdown against Ohio State. But then I go back to the USC game and how he's playing. What are we seeing from him right now, in your opinion, that has helped make that secondary better?
It's kind of that comfort level. But it's easier for someone like me to appreciate his speed and agility as a punt returner, but that also translates whether it's at pick six or translates what he's able to do, turn on a dime in the secondary, really have that top level quickness. I think his ability as a, I don't want to say it's natural athlete, but some of those natural speed and quickness skills in combination have added a great deal back there.
Well, in fact, it's only my opinion. The single most impressive play he made in the game was a play that went nowhere. That was the line drive fair catch that he made as a punt returner, because that to me showed judgment that I can get to it and I don't need the ball hitting the ground. That showed me something in terms of him growing as a player back there.
Well, that's a great point. And also, you know, Caden Saunders was not a returner when it comes to churning out big yards, but he was, as Franklin likes to say, he was a real steady Eddie. So there's another guy who's been lost, and they've gone on and no one has said, hey, Saunders, who's really a machine for fielding punts, is not back there. So it's really interesting. Probably Saunders' best skill was making that catch is the one that you point out that Tracy has stepped in and filled.
All right, so we're at the point of the season now where I think Max Granville still has to sit out one more game. There's a couple of other guys that are in that game. Quentin Martin would have to sit out one more game. But a guy like Corey Smith, he can play the rest of the season, if need be, as an example. Everybody finally got a chance to see Corey Smith carry the football on Saturday night in the fourth quarter. What were your thoughts watching that young man?
I thought he was going to score. I mean, it was crazy. You know, it's I got to tell you, I flashed ahead, and this could be it for this season for Singleton and Allen. And they're not missing a beat. I mean, that was a crazy good run. And I know Franklin today applauded his first carry, not that one, but it was, you know, it was electric, and it was literally an explosive play.
Yeah, I want to get into the management, though, of how they've managed all this with the players that they really do want to redshirt. What does that tell you about the organization itself, that they're managing this in such a way where now the door's open where the full roster, if need be, is available to them in the waning weeks of the season?
No, I think that's a great point. And it's a really unheralded point, the ability to really, it's kind of a front office function, right? When you're talking with people, with Andy Frank and those people, and you're bringing in the analysts, you're bringing in people maybe even like Will Ryman to go, you know, to help strategize those things, what would be typical front office functions, I think Penn State has gotten really good about that. And the thing that no one talks about, but then you're also talking about, okay, you want them to have a taste of it. How much do they need to see action to stay, to not transfer, to not try the portal, to not be disgruntled, to not be a locker room problem. All those things go into it that you never really had to think about. In the past, it was like, no, you're a freshman. You're not playing my way or the highway. That's no longer the case.
Yeah, because now, I mean, they have the ability to play these guys even on special teams, which might give somebody's legs a break in terms of running downfield. Things like that that I think are important. I brought up in the offseason, and I'm really interested in your perspective, that when the expansions happened in the SEC, Texas, Oklahoma, and then in the Big Ten, that the Steve Sarkisian and Brett Venables, their jobs got more difficult, and the other 14 teams in the SEC, their jobs got more difficult. In the Big Ten, everybody's job got more difficult on the West Coast, but everybody within the conference, their jobs got more difficult. How do you describe strength of schedule based on what the new teams have brought in and the fact that you have to play them compared to what you had before in division play?
Well, I hate to say it like this, but, as Penn State's head coach loves to say, it's a combination of everything. And then you throw in a reduced roster and, NIL, whether next year the money's, there's going to be $17 million extra that they have to generate to pay football players. And you throw in the travel, throw in the portal. I mean, it's literally a different game. So it's not only, look, if Washington had been on the schedule last year, we might be having a different discussion now. But Washington eventually will cycle and be good again. And look where Indiana is. So and Minnesota, at Minnesota in 2 weeks, is going to be a challenge.
They're a good team.
Yeah, it's you're going to have to do the 1-0 mentality, because if you look ahead, man, you're going to get scared.
Mike, I think they need to revisit the 105. I know this is a completely off topic, but you brought it up, I'm glad you brought it up. I don't mind if it's 105 with scholarships, but I think they have to give everybody a developmental program which still allows walk-ons and put a number on it, 15 guys, right, that just want to walk on and be a part of your practice squad or whatever. I think they've got to somehow revisit that in some way, and I don't know if they have the ability to do it or not.
Well, I think you're right, and my take is, your reasons are sound, and one or two of my reasons, honestly, walk-ons are great stories. Walk-on, bring in the true student athletes. Walk-ons continue what big-time sports are all about. Walk-ons are Matt McCloyan, I mean, there's myriad reasons to continue to have walk-ons and make sure that they're part of even the highest level of college sports. I think for all of those reasons. And I think eventually, Carl Nassib was a walk-on, right?
Yeah.
So you
yes,
have two
he was.
Walk-ons who are on the board of trustees. I think that's kind of cool, too.
Right. No, exactly. But in order to properly run a football practice, you need 120 players. And that's something I think... I remember when somebody was complaining, I think it was actually Rainey Portland was complaining about the number of scholarships football had, and she wasn't saying, she wasn't saying anything about, the number. But there was a complaint about it. It was like, you actually need 120 guys to have a proper football practice. And I think there has to be some understanding somewhere, Mike, from people who do the job for a living to tell it, the people in Indianapolis who administer these ideas, that there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, and capping it at 105 is not the right way.
Well, this is interesting you invoked Rainey's name, because even the women's basketball team, they still have, and I have one of them in class, he's a fabulous student, one of them, they still have male practice players for any number of reasons, but that's also, you, especially basketball, right? You're a basketball guy too. You need those practice players.
Right. That's just the way it is. Mike, really enjoyed it. I know we covered a wide range of topics here today, but we can do that because you can answer a wide range of anything. So I appreciate you very much.
Well, thanks, buddy. It's always great to talk to you, Steve.
Mike Poorman, statecollege.com. Great to talk with him on the show today. And this half hour is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket imports domestics microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. It's time to start thinking about stocking up for the holidays. You believe we're talking about that already? We're talking about stocking up for the holidays now. How about that?
I think you need to buy some Beat Writer gift cards the way they like this Brewers Outlet ad.
They love it. And because if they go to Brewers Outlet, they're going to love it even more. All right? Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. My two personal favorites. Indeed, second to none as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Reed in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll make sure you're fully insured. Critical. But also do everything they can to save you money. So good at that. And now more than ever. Customer service means everything to them because they're just great people. They're like you. They want to save money, too. And customer service means everything to them. It's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. So I was talking earlier about the SEC. Now, let's encapsulate the Big Ten. The Big Ten currently right now has two teams that are overall undefeated and two teams with one loss. The overall undefeated teams are Oregon, Indiana. The one-loss teams are Ohio State and Penn State. Okay. Nobody else falls into the category of being in contention in the Big Ten for anything beyond bowl games because everybody else has four losses or more. All right? So that's where the Big Ten is. The SEC is where it gets complicated. And let's discuss how complicated the SEC is. They have seven teams right now, seven, that have two losses or fewer. They have two teams with one loss, Texas and Tennessee. Five with two losses, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Missouri. Now, teams play each other. Georgia's going to play Tennessee. Texas still has to play at Texas A&M. Among those, at least off the top of my head, I know they're playing. But you have five of those schools in the two-loss pool, which I refer to as the opinion pool. The opinion pool is going to be, okay, what's our opinion of your strength of schedule? What's our opinion of your victories? What's our opinion of your loss? You know what I mean? Compared to the opinion we have of somebody else. So I refer to two losses as the opinion pool. You have three, you're done. LSU, South Carolina, done. Okay? Anybody beyond Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana in the Big Ten, they're done. Anybody beyond them. Those are the only four teams that have a shot to get to the playoff with three games to play. Or in Indiana's case, two games to play because they've already played 10. Okay? So those are the only four in the Big Ten that are still in the running. But in the SEC, you have seven of them. But they start playing each other. If Tennessee were to beat Georgia, Georgia's out of it. You're not going to get into this thing if you have three regular season losses. It's just a fact of life. There are too many teams in the pool. Let's see, what's Alabama's remaining schedule? Alabama's got Mercer. I like them in that spot. Who? They have to play at Oklahoma, then they have Auburn. Okay, that's where they are. Now, Missouri's a little bit further out of it. They've got a really tough game with South Carolina this week. I mean, a really tough game. Then they got Mississippi State, which they would be the prohibitive favorite. Then they got that game with Arkansas at the end, and that's not easy. But they're also 24th right now. So let's get to Ole Miss. Where are they? They've got Florida, where they're the prohibitive favorite, and they're the prohibitive favorite again against Mississippi State. Very interesting. Georgia, we already know they have Tennessee. Then they have a game with UMass. And then they have Georgia Tech. And the Georgia Tech game's not easy. Georgia Tech just beat Miami. Texas. Texas has to play Arkansas. No doubt they're the favorite there. The game is in Fayetteville, though. Just to give it a little flavor. Kentucky is next. We know Kentucky has an excellent defense, but Texas is the prohibitive favorite. Then they got Texas A&M at College Station, and they haven't played in forever. But they, again, Texas has the ability. They've got one loss. Now you got Texas A&M. They'll cruise. They've got New Mexico State this week. They're their prohibitive favorite. They've got Auburn. That game is down at Jordan-Hare. Should be the prohibitive favorite again. Then they got Texas. And they've got two losses. Tennessee, they got Georgia in Athens this week at Sanford Stadium. Then they got UTEP. They'll be the prohibitive favorite. But you're telling me at Vanderbilt's an easy game? Ask Kalen DeBoer how easy it is to go in there. Vanderbilt's 6-4. It's very interesting down the stretch as to who stays in the two-loss pool and who falls to the three-loss pool.
Did you see the Vanderbilt lawsuit by chance?
By the
quarterback?
Pavia?
Yeah.
Pavia? I did. I only read the headline. Todd, you'd have to tell me the details of what he's suing for.
Well, basically, he wants another year or two of eligibility, saying that the junior college, his 2 years in junior college shouldn't count because the NCAA does not run the junior college stuff, essentially. Basically saying that their NCAA clocks start when they come on an NCAA campus, not when they started junior college.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Oh boy. Really? Wow.
Unintended consequences, Steve. I believe that's one of your favorite phrases.
Yes. And it's a phrase that is worth talking about. It's like, yay. Wow.
I was going to say, that's not something we've talked about at all when we've talked about this. It never even dawned on me.
No. I mean, I never once considered junior college being an issue on eligibility. Never.
He wants an expedited ruling because he wants to be able to start negotiating with the Vanderbilt collective before the transfer portal opens.
Now, but this would be my question. Why did you have to go to junior college? I mean, that would be my question. Why did you have to go to junior college? And, you know, and there's a myriad of answers. It's not as simple as that. But say, for example, with all due respect, because I only know of Pavia, I don't know him at all. I only know of him. Did he have to go to junior college because of grades? Or did he, there's a myriad of reasons why you go to junior college, right? But if, say, for example, it were about high school grades and qualification, I'm sorry, Todd, that to me disqualifies you from getting additional years of college.
Well, and you know,
I'm saying that's a basic question I would ask.
By his thinking, you know, and I think their reasoning, what about the kid that that goes Division II and then realizes is good enough for one of these high level programs and transfers up? I mean, I feel like, again, I feel like we could open up a can of worms that they don't want to open again. I just, where, you know, again, where we're getting levels of school where, you know, where your Division I eligibility, your Division II eligibility doesn't count against your Division I eligibility because, you know, we're not allowing you to make your Division I money and, you know.
Well, in fact, I just did a game, Binghamton, and in that game, the starting forward was a transfer from Trinity in Connecticut, which is Division III. There aren't many games where the biggest game of his career to that point was winning the traditional game against Wesleyan. But I've also done games where Duncan Robinson was at Williams, Division III, and transferred to Michigan, and now he's in the NBA with the Miami Heat. To me, NCAA eligibility is NCAA eligibility. Now, is he right about the NCAA having no role or no governance over junior colleges? They're correct about that. They are correct. Just like they would have no role or governance over NAIA, right?
Right.
Okay? So he is correct about that. Okay. But my question would be, at least the initial question would be, I would like to know why you had to go there. Did they miss you in recruiting? Did you go there because you felt by going to a junior college you could improve your Division I stock? Did you go to the junior college because you didn't academically qualify? In other words, I'd like to know why you went there. If I'm the judge, that would be one of the first questions I would have.
And I did read a long article about him, but it was about a month ago, and I don't remember why he went to junior college.
Yeah, no. Again, I don't know him at all. Zero. So I'm not going to sit here. But all I know is he went to New Mexico State. He transferred to Vanderbilt. Everywhere he's gone, he's played well. But goodness gracious. I mean, I'd like to be covering a sport where every other day we're not talking about court.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, it would be nice.
I mean, you know what I mean. Every time we turn around, we're talking about a court case. I mean, do you think I want to sit here? I've had people say, well, you talk a lot about money and talk a lot about court cases. I've had people say that to me, and I said, because, to be honest with you, it affects every single thing that you're watching as a fan. So you should be as informed as possible, and it's our job here to inform people. That doesn't mean I want to be talking about it, but it's so important. It's exponentially more important than the personality thing. You know, whose team is it? I don't really care whose team it is. it's like, come on. That doesn't affect what we see out there. Now, the Utah athletic director's words after the BYU game. Okay, now I want to talk about that. That's pretty good.
Didn't really back down yesterday after they fined him either, did he?
No. And guess what? He's not wrong. Why are you making that call? See, this is what bothers me about. We've talked about this before. About the ability to have a feel for the game. And why do you make that call? I'm completely baffled why you make that call. That's one of those, like there's certain calls in life. That you sit there and go, okay. Like, you have to make the call. Like, you have to make it. And there are other calls, you know, it's like, there's no need to do it. So, Doug Okay, Doug Birdsong texted me. Said the article about Pavia said that he only received two FCS offers out of high school. His attorney also said something about him redshirting 1 year at his JC. Okay, if a judge... Okay, James was talking today openly about getting the five-year scholarships. Okay? And I think that that is something that is going to need a serious look. I mean, to be honest with you, like, you see Sal Wormley? Sal Wormley, believe it or not, might be eligible for another year of eligibility if he wants it. A lot of ways of doing this thing. It's, boy.
Somebody's got to solve it. I don't know who, but it's.
Yeah.
We say this over. I feel like we said this last year, even, that the longer this gets kicked down the road, the worse it's yeah. getting.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't back down. I mean, Zamaya Vaughn was called for holding on the fourth down play where Jake Retzlaff, the BYU quarterback, was sacked at the 1 yard line. It was, okay, 89 seconds left.
And if you saw the play.
I have not seen the play, so I'll be fair to everybody. I did not see it. You did, you tell me.
It's close. I'm not even quite sure it's a hold. He has a hold of his thing, but he lets go within 5 yards, and like he got swamped on that play. It wasn't like he was going to be able to get the ball downfield anyway. I'm fully on board with your feel for the game part of this. That it had no effect. It didn't have a lot of effect. It didn't have really any effect on the play. And Utah clinches the game, and you know they make that call and give BYU a second life. And you know, not only you know, is it a rivalry game? BYU stays undefeated and on top of the Big 12 with a real good shot at the playoff yet.
I mean, I'll give you one. Adavian Collins, again, Penn State's up 35-6, so it doesn't matter. Okay, he's called for pass interference. No, he then comes back with back to back plays and you know pushes Washington back. Like he made three plays right in a row. It's great. Okay. But he's called for pass interference. Now, does he make contact with him? Yeah, he makes some contact with him. And it's called pass interference. I'm watching Abdul Carter all night. Okay? Being clutched and grabbed all night. To the point where I made a joke in the postgame show with him about maybe you should go back to the SEC days and wear a tearaway jersey. And he said to me, he said, man, I'd love that. Right? So that's like, I realize it's in the open field. That's pass interference. Okay, well, you made the call. But what about this guy over here? You got hands outside the pads, grabbing guys, no calls. That's out there. It's like, eh. So now you go to this game. Right, based on the way you described it, like, what are you calling that for? It's like, I don't know. See, officials are hurting themselves more often than not because I know the game's fast, but they're hurting the profession over and over again because they don't have enough people right now. And that's causing them not to have enough people who have a feel for the game. By the way, you see Dana Holgorsen's going to be the offensive coordinator for Nebraska the rest of the season. I'll say this. Dana does have a great offensive mind. Interesting dude, though.
Yeah. There's no casinos in Omaha, is there?
Oh, that's where you're wrong.
Oh, no. Oh, Wasn't he the one that was getting in trouble for being at the one in West Virginia all the time?
Yes. Now, Lincoln, let's see, does Lincoln have casinos? At least near, but Omaha's only 45 minutes away anyway, so. Yeah. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucson's with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucson's, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right. I was making the point earlier about Peacock. I was told, because I know you'll find it surprising, I didn't watch the broadcast. So I have no idea. But I was told they were like 6 to 8 minutes behind live action.
I'm not sure I realized it was that far because I just had, I mean, I was just watching it on TV, but it wasn't real sharp sometimes either. I was not particularly, and mine took forever to come on. Like, it was probably 4 or 5 minutes after 8 till it finally came on.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, all I wanted to see was the whiteout in HD when they came on, and it was blurry.
Great.
That's exactly
fabulous.
What I thought.
Just great. Oh, man. Yeah.
And for some reason, Colt McCoy sounded like he was in a cave.
Well, I never saw him there. So since I didn't see him there, I don't know if he was in the cave or not. I don't know.
He went to look at the stalagmites and got stuck in Woodward or Penn's cave.
Oh, boy. A stalagmite. Everybody duck hates a stalactite.
It's been so long, I don't know the difference anymore.
Nobody knows. Not even the people giving the tour.